harmony of the Gospels. Whoa, we're just flying through the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are in the last week of his life, and it's been jam-packed and full of many interesting thoughts for all of us. Let's have prayer, and then we'll see our Lord now before Herod. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for just taking this journey with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to walk with him and to learn from him. Lord, teach us more about your character this day. Teach us more about the character of mankind as we go through this journey with Jesus. We just thank you now and we praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, now we've noted that, and we've seen and get started, that Jesus will have three appearances between the religious, in front of the religious leaders. He'll have three appearances before the political leaders. This morning we're going to take him look at that he's before Herod. And if you'll note on the top of your sheet, this account only appears in Luke 23, verses 6 through 12. Let's take a look at some of these questions and go through this. This is a very quick and short one, all right? Now, what had Pilate heard? Now, remember, he's just appeared before Pilate, just before this, all right? He's been before Pilate, and Pilate's tried to wash his hands of this whole matter. What had he heard? Well, if you're with me in Luke chapter 23, we'll quickly go back and see what Pilate had heard and gave him an out, if you will. Chapter 23, look with me, verses 4 and 5. And then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning with Galilee to this place. Now when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. All right. So what did he ask? Look at your sheet. He asked whether the man were a Galilean. Look at verse 7. What did Pilate do when he knew that Jesus was a Galilean? And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also at Jerusalem at that time. No doubt he's come down for all the great festivities of that time, the great Passover. Why do you think Pilate did this? I pretty much already told you. Passing a buck. Okay, that's a good way to say it. He's passing the buck. He said, now see, normally the area in which you committed a crime, that's where you're going to do the time. All right? But they also had an aspect that the one from which he came from, the county or town or ship from which he came from, he could also have the jurisdiction. And I believe this is what he was trying to do at that time. I'll give you a footnote from the Reformation Study Bible, page 1501. It writes, in the Roman Empire, a trial was usually held in the province where the offense was committed, but it could be transferred to the province from which the accused came. And I just mentioned Pilate seized on this to send Jesus to Herod. So that's what's going on, okay? Look at verse 8. How did Herod respond when he saw Jesus? Oh, and when Herod saw Jesus, man, he was exceedingly glad. He's looking for a Savior. You think that's what it is? The Messiah. I have an opportunity to speak to my Messiah. Don't think so, huh? All right. Why was he exceedingly glad? For he was desirous to see him for a long season. Okay, we're still not told, right? because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Okay, so what do you think Herod thought of Jesus? Soothsayer, okay, miracle maker, but not the Messiah, all right? He was anxious to see him do some kind of miracle. He's heard about this one who could perform miracles. So, and I ask you, do you think Herod wanted to become Jesus' disciple? No, that's not what he was desirous of. Page 2. What did Herod do with Jesus? Oh, then he questioned him. Then he questioned with him in many words. And how did Jesus respond to Herod? Get this. But he answered him nothing. Herod's going to be the only person Jesus refused to say anything to. Now, we've already seen with Pilate. Pilate would ask him some questions and he didn't answer. But then on another situation, he did answer him, all right, when he was having him swear. But Herod's the only one he's not going to talk to at all. Got any ideas why that might be? What do we know? Go ahead. Say it again. Yeah, well, that's true. That is true. Yeah. But why would... Well, what do we know about the character Herod? Well, you know, it wasn't very... And, you know, it's like Christ is not going to... he's not going to... Yeah, we'll probably have something like that, yeah. What did the chief priests and scribes say about Jesus before Herod? And the chief priests and scribes, you know what they did? They stood and vehemently accused him. Huh. And what did Herod and his guards do to Jesus? And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught. And they mocked him. And they arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Now, what do you think Herod thought of Jesus after we just read through those verses? What do you think that he thought of him? Certainly he didn't think of him as the Messiah, because basically what do you see him doing here? Mocking. Yeah. So that kind of gives you an idea of what he thought of Christ, because he's mocking him. And what happened? This is kind of interesting, between Pilate and Herod that day. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. But before, they were at enmity between themselves. There's no love lost between these two rulers. What's happened? What do they have here now, almost? What we could call a common what? Common bond, common cause. You know, hey. So they become friends. What do these verses teach us about our triune God? Not a lot, maybe. You know, some passages you see more about our triune God and his character than... but here we see a lot about the character of man. What do these verses teach us about mankind? Well, yep, we could say that. And along with that, we could also say that maybe meek. Mm-hmm. But what about men? What do these verses teach us about mankind? What are we're seeing here with Pontius Pilate and Herod? They're seeking ways to what? The people. What are they seeking? Appease them is probably, that's the word I put down here. Appease them. He's trying to appease them. And is that the nature of men? At times we will compromise what we believe is right to appease others? Yeah, sure we do. What else do we see here? We see men vehemently attacking Christ, mocking Christ. Do they still do that today? I think they just put out a new film, and they're portraying him as what? Gay. Well, what are they doing there? It's a mockery. All right. What else now do we hear here about men? What do we see here about enemies? Enemies will join forces even to fight against the Messiah. The worst of enemies can become the best of friends if they have got a common cause. Let's mock Christ. Let's mock Christians. Persecution of Christians is spreading. Now, maybe not so much, we don't see it in the United States, but it is growing. But places in the East, to be a Christian, to name the name of Christ, to be a follower of Christ, is to experience almost certain persecution. And enemies will join to fight against Christ and those who follow him. Hey, can you come up with a purpose? How might these verses change our behavior? Well, one is, hey, I purpose to be aware that men may well resist my Lord and may well resist my following the Lord. We should expect resistance, should we not? And I wrote down, hey, I purpose to choose to suffer with Christ rather than to appease the enemies of Christ. All right. Now, before we move on, any thought? We're before Herod. Now we're going to go back before Pilate here in a moment. But that's that. And this is this appears before Herod, was, as I mentioned, found in Luke's account. All right, then let's move on. I don't know if we're going to make this thing or not. This is pretty long. I've probably bit off too much. I don't know if I want to start this. Got to think about this now for a minute. All right, well, let's do some of it. All right. Now, as you look, Jesus before Pilate. Now, this is for the second time. Pilate, Herod, Pilate. All right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John's account. Question. Who had Pilate gathered together? And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and rulers of the people. All right? Chief priests, rulers of the people. What did Pilate say to them? He said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, having found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. Nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him. And lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. So he's saying, look, it, neither myself nor Herod have found anything in this man to put him to death. Now that is Pilate's conclusion. All right. Well, what does Pilate tell them he will do to Jesus? I will therefore chastise him and release him. So even in that, what do you think Pilate is trying to do? A little appeasing, okay? And, you know, he's thinking, okay, this will be enough. I'll chastise him and then I will release him. What did Pilate want to do for the people? Now, at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. So what was the tradition during this time? Give the people someone, a criminal that they wanted set free, give them and set him free. Mark says, now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner whomsoever they desired. So you see Matthew, Mark's account, very, very similar. Luke, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And then John says, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Remember now, the Jews would not come into Pilate's place. All right, why not? Because, yeah, they didn't want to go into a Gentile and be defiled and therefore not be able to partake of the Passover week, all right? So then he says, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you one of the at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? So we see what Pilate's desire is at this point. What's his desire? To release Jesus. And why does he want to do that? Yeah, he knows that he's not worthy of death. And so what do you suppose Pilate's thinking the people would do at this point? Release him, right? Come on, they're going to release him. Now, did you notice that he referred to him as who? The King of the Jews. And so that might have been a little shot at the religious leaders. But what famous prisoner did they have in jail? Matthew says, and they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Mark says, and there was one named Barabbas. Luke. Oh, and they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. John. Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. All right, so who they want to have released? Barabbas, okay? At this point, we don't know a lot about him, okay? But how bad was Barabbas? Mark says this about him. Which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Luke says, who, for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. All right, so what was the two crimes leveled against Barabbas? Insurrection and murder. Okay, pretty serious crimes, don't you think? High crimes and misdemeanors, right. Now, John says this, and Barabbas was a robber. And I mentioned this to you. Some think that he may have been a zealot, who were nationalists that resisted Roman's occupation. And that may well be true. Now, what did the people want Pilate to do? Remember? He's ready to let go Christ, because that was the tradition, let one go free. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. Okay, they want one. People willing to have this insurrection, this murder among them rather than the Messiah, I write. They would rather have a sinner rather than the forgiver of sin. And now what does Pilate ask of the people? Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? See, now he's still saying the Messiah. He's first, you know, the King of the Jews. Now he's referring to him as the Messiah. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you, the King of the Jews? So Messiah, King of the Jews, he's using it interchangeably. What did Pilate know about Jesus' accusers? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Mark says, for he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. All right, so what is Pilate? Yeah, Pilate is saying, I know why they're bringing this man up. They're jealous of him. They're envious of him. This is why he's been reluctant to turn him over to death. Now, it's kind of interesting. How did Pilate's wife caution him? Matthew gives us this insight. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. All right. So what do you see there? Now, we don't know if Pilate's wife was a believer, because we know God can give visions to different ones, impress people with different ones. He'll impress Cyrus to let the people go. So we know that, he has the king's heart in his hand. He can move it whithersoever he will. And now here comes his wife. And she says, don't have nothing to do. And how does she describe him? Oh, a just man. Mm-hmm. And she had some, I'd suffer many things. Huh? Would you call it a what? Nightmare? In a dream that, don't touch them. So here we learn, and we have an illustration of a time when a man should what? Should have listened to his wife. Of course, we know that prophecy has been made that Christ is to die, but we could say, well, there was a time when, a man should have listened to his wife. But that's not what's going to happen. What was Pilate's plan? I think Pilate's plan was still to look some way to what? Release Jesus. And probably even more so after he heard this testimony from his wife. All right. Who had the priests and elders been persuading, and of what did they persuade them? But the chief priests and elders, they persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. That's what they're propagating through the crowds, okay? Mark says, but the chief priests, they moved the people that he should release Barabbas unto them. Now, what question did Pilate ask of the people? The governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. And what did Pilate ask of them? Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Mark says, Pilate answered, said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto them, whom ye call the King of the Jews? Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. He is still looking for ways to release Christ. How do the people answer his question? They all say unto him, let him be crucified, Mark says. And they cried out again, crucify him, Luke. But they cried saying, crucify him. And what then does Pilate ask of them? And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? Mark Very similar. Pilate said unto them, why? What evil has he done? Luke said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? Do you see he added the phrase the third time? So this is something Pilate has been asking over and over. What evil has he done? I will therefore chastise him and let him go. So did Pilate think Jesus was worthy of death at this point? No. And how did the people reply to Pilate's question? And they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And they cried the more exceeding, crucify him. And Luke says, and they were with loud voices, requiring he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priest prevailed. So who had the loudest cries? Well, what's that saying? They say, who gets the grease? The what? Yeah, the squeaky wheel. Well, boy, they were squeaking all right. And how did Pilate respond to the people's demand to crucify Jesus? When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Hey, had Pilate listened to anything his wife had said? Yeah. Why do I say that? What word does he use that his wife had used to him? How had she described the Lord? Yes. And now she referred to him as just. I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And Pilate, he gave sentence that it should be as they required. And how did the people respond to Pilate's statement? Then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and our children. Who was guilty of killing Jesus? I give you a bunch of references. Who was guilty? Was Pontius Pilate and Herod guilty? Yes. Were the religious leaders guilty? Yes. Were the Roman soldiers guilty? Yes. Were the people guilty? Yes. And in fact, we're all guilty. One more sheet. What did Pilate do with Barabbas and Jesus? Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Mark says, so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And Luke says, he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. So how would you describe Pilate's character? Pragmatist, yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes thinking, hey, the end's what? Yeah. And now, what do these verses teach us about our triune God? Yeah, he did know that. Yes, he did. Anything else? God's plan can sometimes include who being set free. Yeah. Who was set free in all this? The guilty one. Anything like that ever experienced in your life where you saw the guilty one blessed and you who are innocent cursed? But my brother did it. My sister did it. It wasn't me. I'm innocent. They're guilty. We've all seen situations like this. where that one who was guilty was blessed. And the one who was innocent was cursed. Sometimes that's God's plan. We learn anything about mankind in these verses? Sometimes men sin because of what? I mean, Pilate, Herod, they're going to sin because of what emotion? What emotion? Who do they fear? Fear. They fear men, don't they? They fear men. Have we ever sinned because we feared men? Sure we have. And we see that here. And I mentioned, sometimes the innocent are punished and the guilty are set free. You got to be mindful. That still may well and is God's plan at times. And we talked about this. Jealousy and envy can cause men to harm others. Have you ever had that happen in your life? Because of jealousy and envy of another end up hurting you? Yeah. Hey, how might these verses change our behavior? Well, I just simply said, you know, I purpose to understand God's plan sometimes includes the innocent suffering and the guilty going free. And, you know, and there's, of course, there's other things that we could look at, which I just mentioned about. Be careful that jealousy and envy would not motivate me to bring harm to others. And be careful that fear doesn't move me to compromise the truth of God's word. Well, we're moving through. Heavenly Father, we're thanking you and praising you for this portion in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Very interesting to see the responses of the leaders, the responses of the people, and to note your response of silence. Lord, I pray that when we are in the midst of your plan of that being at the innocent suffer and the guilty are set free, that, Lord, we would be able to respond with the same spirit of meekness as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to be humble and meek. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.